morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever this finds you, to my lovely viewers of the GPP, the Gift of Performance Podcast, giving you the knowledge and practical takeaways to improve your own general physical preparedness. I am your host, as always, the often imitated, never duplicated, leaving his foes exasperated and his followers often motivated, the Squad Father. Good to have you back. Season 2, Episode 3. Guys, it was one of the busier weeks for the Gifted Compete team. Across the board, we had just absolute ass-smashing, booty-crushing performances from the team. We're going to cover all of those. Because we've got so many of those to cover, I'm not going to start this episode by debunking a silly product. I've got plenty. Those will be coming on next week's episode. But for now, we're going to start with a couple lighthearted memes that I found. In this first one, Jake, this is 9774. I stole this from the Fleckus Talks podcast. Really enjoyable watch. If that's your cup of tea, recommend giving it a look-see. This fella right here, I do believe that he is UCM, University of Central Michigan. He's a freshman. His name's $1,000,000. They brought the Rick and Morty character, 1,000,000 Ants, to life. There's a naming crisis going on. There's Jackson with four X's and S and a Y in there somewhere. There's Braxton, Claxton, all of this going on. Hate it. Please stop. And then there's a separate brand, which is, I know that my last name is Bugs. Our last name is Bugs. I can hear Jake laughing. I know our last name is Bugs. There are quite literally 1,000,000 or more names that I could choose from. But we're going to go with 1,000,000. Maybe it's pronounced like 1,000,000. That's worse. I hadn't said that before I started recording. 1,000,000 Bugs is worse. I looked at 1,000,000 stats as well. And last season, as a true freshman, I believe, but maybe as a redshirt freshman, he put up 13 points on 20 minutes. So I can find, Jake, find this for me. Find the head coach of University of Central Michigan's email address, put it in the show notes, and then let people email him and say, if 1,000,000 Bugs is putting up 13 points in half the game, let the guy get some playtime. He's young, he needs some reps, he's clearly got the talent, and he's got the name to be a star. Let's give 1,000,000 Bugs a chance. How's that for a good one? And the next one combines my two favorite things, which are memes and dad jokes. Jake, this is 9775. This is a really good one here. I like this. A velociraptor. A lot of people say, you know, what is a velociraptor? Like, it's a, you know, it's like a kind of like T-Rexy, but it's like mini. Like, what two dinosaurs bred to create this velociraptor? And mathematicians, physicists solved the problem. A velociraptor is when a distance raptor gets on top of a time raptor. And that's what comes out. I like that a lot. What two dinosaurs came together to make a velociraptor? The distance distance over time? Guys, do we pay attention in physics? You know, two trains, they're traveling at 80 miles per hour and 70 miles per hour. One leaves at 12:30. One leaves at 1 p.m. When will they meet again? Distance over time? Velocity, if you don't know this formula, guys, don't let your physics teacher down. Remember these basic annoying formulas that you'll never use in your life, unless it comes to making memes. And making memes is what it's all about. All right, those are our lighthearted starting points. I hope you enjoyed them half as much as I did. All right, let's get some client recap going. It was a big one. So 2 weeks ago, we had the Gifted Gals, we had Carrie Harris, and, excuse me, Kat Baptista get on stage at the Clash Championship. Carrie did what Carrie does. She brought home the figure overall, her open her class, obviously, and the figure overall. And Kat, while showing huge improvements, didn't get the placing that she wanted. Very large, very competitive show. Her first show was very small. There was low turnout. And those are obviously going to be shows where you can very easily place better. So Kat dipped her toes for the first time into what was probably one of the more competitive shows that she'll ever compete in. Didn't get the placing that she wanted, but the feedback was received. We know what we need to improve on. And instead of doing another show this year, so the plan was going to be to take 6 weeks to tighten up a little bit more, lose a little bit more body fat, present more of what the judges were looking for, which they told us was a more conditioned physique. So we said, you know, why don't we jump in the Holiday Classic? She said, you know what, I think I'd rather just shut it down for now, take a short off season, which I agree with because she has the shape and the size to be competitive in the bikini class, and then come back early next year to start a prep and really improve upon the conditioning there. So Kat gets off stage. She's, you know, happy with her performance, knows that she's made improvements, knows what she needs to do to get better. So you can't beat. There's nothing. That you'll never find a better client response than what Kat showed right there. That the maturity, the emotional maturity, the maturity as an athlete to just say, I just got to get better. I got to get better. Here's my plan to get better. Let's get out there and let's make it happen. So both Kat and Carrie, despite placings, very, very successful on that side. Carrie, you know, going into this competition season, her and I sat down and chatted. And we said, you know, let's double the size of your trophy case. And that is exactly what we did. We doubled up the size of her trophy case with 4 first place finishes and 3 overalls, I believe. And we'll come back to Carrie's last competition of the season at the end here. Some good pictures of the girls here just messing around in the parking garage. Is that a parking garage? I don't think it's a parking garage. I think it's like a lobby. I don't know. Comment below. Was it a parking garage? Was it a lobby? I don't know. Looks more like a lobby, I would say. I'm embarrassed that I called it a parking garage. Jake, don't edit it out, but it's embarrassing, right? Some fun pictures of them there. So that was a really good weekend down at the Clash. Everyone got together. We had a really big showing there of people to compete and support, and everyone got to sit down and get dinner afterward. It was just a really good time. That's kind of what the gifted community is all about. Showing up, supporting those who are competing, knowing that they'll be there to support you when you also compete. Love that. Moving on, let's get into Katia Dominguez, one of Anthony Plaza's clients who will be making her wellness debut next year, showing off a glute transformation here. Now, with glutes and legs being such a big part of the division of wellness, it's important to showcase those improvements month over month and year over year. Katya is one of those ones that she came to Anthony. She needed some structure in her routine. She needed some structure in her training and her nutrition. And then for Anthony, he just basically had to get out of her way. Set her up with a good plan. Stay out of her way. Let the genetics and a well-designed plan do the work. And that's exactly what is happening here. If Katya does anything other than win the overall at a show that will be announced at a later date for our gifted team. If she gets anything less than an overall, I would be genuinely shocked. Katya is a hard worker from what Anthony has told me. All she really has to do is get in shape with the current muscle mass that she has, and she's going to dominate. So it's exciting to see that all falling into place. Don't have to tell me that Anthony is a great coach. You line him up with some really gifted clients. Gifted clients, love that. Some really genetically blessed clients. It's just going to shine through that what he's been doing this entire time for weeks and months and years on end, the guy knows his shit. He knows nutrition. He knows training. He knows posing. He knows community. He understands the ins and outs of what makes a great competitor and a great competitive team. And to see it all falling together for him, it's a really good sight. Now we move into some performance-based highlights. Our very own Carolyn Beebe showcasing some of her own 20-week. So she is 20 weeks along at the recording of this video, showing what she does for her strength training. She's been working with the Old Bull staff in putting together a training program. And I think that Carolyn is, you know, there's a lot of really, really good examples out there. And Carolyn is following in that exact footstep of, you know, what you were doing pre-pregnancy is what you should be doing during pregnancy, not only for the baby, but for yourself, for an easy delivery, for an easy recovery, the mental health benefits, the, you know, metabolic benefits. Carolyn is a gifted coach. She is gifted. She is diverse in her coaching offerings. We were talking about the other day. She said, I don't specialize. I coach human beings. I love that. And she practices what she preaches. Whether she is in the greatest shape of her life, doing triathlons, running marathons, doing all of that, or whether she's 3D printing a human and still staying strong, fit, and healthy, Carolyn is someone that should be looked at as a subject matter expert, not just in endurance training, but pregnancy training, postpartum training, strength training. There's not much to say here other than that Carolyn is gifted through and through. She does it all. She coaches it all. She does it all very, very well. So, Carolyn, we applaud you. And then a little bit of a less serious, we did have Halloween. So, good old client of mine, Mr. Steve Carroll, having some fun with a sumo RDL tempo PR here. 405? No, 410. He's got the 2.5s on there. All of that in the infamous shark suit. Got some cleans going on behind him too. Not terrible hang cleans. Guy behind Steve, if you see this, hit me up. I'll fix you up. Steve, you're a monster. Even in the shark suit. If that's even Steve. We can't be sure if it actually is. There's no way to verify. Getting in some glute and ham work as well. All of it in the shark suit. Look how few people behind him on Halloween are dressed up at the gym. What's wrong with you people? Why do you take yourself so seriously? Put on your costume, go to the gym, get a sick pump, take some pictures like Steve, and you might one day be as cool as him. All right, that wraps up our November 1st folder. Now let's get into some of the more time-sensitive things that have happened in the last few days. First and foremost, a big round of applause to client of mine, Team Squat Father member Bethany Weaver, got a backfill spot and is officially qualified for the fittest experience in the Masters 40 to 44 women division, which means that both her and I also qualified. It's less important news. Obviously, her qualification is more important than mine, but her and I will be taking the competition floor together, suffering as a team. Doesn't get much better than that. Congrats to Bethany. When she came to Gifted, when she came to me, she said, listen, I want to get better at CrossFit across the board, and I want to qualify for the fittest experience. Bethany, you've checked both of those boxes now, and the only thing that can happen from here is continued improvement. Let's get ready to show up and show out in January. What else do we got here? All right, another PR on the performance side from Clint. Clint Kaison with a huge, huge clean pull deadlifty. Don't nitpick the guy. It's a clean pull PR. 375. After he pulled this, I'm sitting out of frame, like just a little bit that way. After he pulls this 6,000 ounce, he converted it to ounces. That's the funny thing at Team Squat Father right now. He turned over to me. He's like, 315 was going to be good today. So 375, I'll take it. Clint, that's 60 pounds more than you shot for. That's amazing. Of course we'll take that. So really good improvements from him, not just on the strength side, but on the skill side as well, as he works on butterfly pull-ups, toe to bar, handstand push-ups. Just really big improvements for him across the board, just putting in the work and getting the result from it. And now is where we will kind of wrap things up with my long diatribe. So over the past 10 days have probably been some of the most rewarding, most successful in terms of competition outcomes, and the most, probably had the biggest mental takeaway and mental like replenishment, recharging for myself on the coaching side and why I actually do this. And largely that was from three of the women on Team Squat Father and their competitive success. Those three women being Casey Aguilar-Gervais, daughter of Christina Aguilera and Ricky Gervais. A lot of people don't know that. Again, putting that information out there. Carrie, her success throughout the season and at the Amateur Olympia. And then, of course, Rachel Pollard, who spent the weekend winning her WNBF pro card again. So just taking a look at some of these pictures here. So starting off with Rachel here and her success. So the trophy, the pro card, the feedback from the judges. So story about Rachel before we go on. So Rachel is, as a lot of people, maybe people don't know, Rachel is a cancer survivor who started CrossFit after that, had a lot of success in CrossFit, and then transitioned over to bodybuilding when starting working with me. Her first prep got canceled because of COVID. So all the shows got canceled. She was ready to get on stage. So we had to bump that a year. She stayed dialed in, stayed connected with the sport, took a little off season, prepped, did a show where she won her pro card. So she had four other girls in her class and she won her pro card at the show. So, I mean, this is like, when you're a bodybuilder, the greatest accolade that you work for most people, is going to be that pro card. That is the extrinsic motivation for most competitive bodybuilders. They want to win their pro card. So she won her pro card. And reflecting on that win, she told me that she wasn't happy with the competition of women that she beat. You can only beat the people that show up. So she essentially won her pro card, looked around, and said, this is not the competition that I wanted to go against. This is not a competition that I feel I can leave this and be proud of myself that I won. Sure, she was proud of herself that she had won, but she wanted more. She wanted to win in a more competitive show, and so she could say, I earned that pro card. So her and I both made a decision and said, okay, let's take this win, let's turn down the pro card, and let's go to Worlds. So she had qualified for Worlds by, you know, winning that show. So turn down your pro card, the thing that most people work their entire bodybuilding careers for, turn it down, show up to Worlds, compete against the best in the world, and if we win that and we're crowned world champion, then we can get the pro card. It's admirable, but it's close to insanity. It really is. It really is. You take your win, you take your pro card, you shut it down, you improve. Not enough for her. That's the type of person that she is. She goes to Worlds, she gets on stage, she's in a class of seven girls, she's in the middle the entire time. She gets off stage, I look her in the face, and I say, holy shit, you just did it. You just fucking did it. In your second show ever, you're going to be the world champion for amateurs in your class, and you're going to win your pro card. Everything was worth it. Judging comes around, final judgment, third is this, clap, 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 clap. And in second place is Rachel Pollard. Second place. One spot short of winning her pro card again and being crowned the amateur world champion in fit body by one spot. Didn't ask for the judges' scores, but we knew it was close. Crushed. Absolutely crushed for her. I was in the back room. I didn't even know what to say to her. She comes off the stage. She's elated. I'm second place. So ready to improve, so ready to take an off season and get better. And it's like, how in the world, how crazy am I to be crushed or disappointed when she has an attitude like that? So Rachel deserves the world, especially in bodybuilding. She won this show here, won her pro card, gets off stage, texts me, I did it. So of course you did. What else would you do? This is your thing. This is what you do. You win. She said, all right, short off season, pro show next year, and let's get to Worlds. And it's like, how inspiring is that? How much does that remind me of, like, I need to treat my own training. I need to treat my own life like this as well. Like, this girl just had what she had been working for 2.5-3 years now. She just won it. And what does she say when she gets off stage? Let's get back to work. It's hard. It's very, very hard to find a champion mindset like this. But when you find it, it's truly inspiring. And Rachel's really got it. What Rachel won last weekend was so well-deserved, so earned. The promoter of the show came up to her after and said, you finally won it. You finally got it. I'm so proud of you. You represent the division so well. And it was just like everything comes together perfectly the way it should, you know. When you work hard, you know, fate favors the hustlers. And Rachel is the definition of a hustler. So when it comes to, you know, when it comes to her getting on stage for a pro show next year and Worlds next year, like, watch out, everybody, because this girl has yet to let anyone down ever. She always impresses. She always raises the bar for herself. She's, fuck me, I wouldn't want to compete against her. That's a girl that I don't want to see in the lineup against me. Genetically blessed in terms of her ability to build muscle, hold muscle, and diet, and, you know, have a great shape for the division she's in. Holy shit, does she work hard. So, Rachel, you earned... Hold on, where's that picture? One more. Yes, Rachel, you earned whatever that is right there, that donut that you're enjoying so much. And can we take a moment to appreciate the, as always, Stay Gifted shirt that she has on, the retro vintage apparel that she's got there. Designs by Jimmy. Jimmy doesn't miss. All right, that brings us to our next competitor for the weekend, one who is no stranger to the show as a whole, Casey Aguilar-Gervais. Again, shows up, shows out. Hunger in the Wild State, I forget the exact name of the meet that she did. All I knew is there was cash money on the line. Casey said, can we jump in this? I'll compete as a set, like a light 71. I think she weighed in at like 66.7, something like that. So she weighed in as a light, very, very light 71. And what she did on the platform is what she's been doing on the platform since her and I started working together. I want to say that it surprises me. I think that people outside looking in, it surprises them. I think it surprised people in her competitive organization for her country to the point where they were like, hey, listen, we're going to send some drug testers to make sure that all of this is verified to this meet. I said, send them. Casey doesn't do that shit. And what Casey did on the platform on Saturday was... what I tell her all the time, before every single meet, before every single time she steps on the platform, I don't tell her to do anything special. I don't give her any cues. I don't, oh, keep your back straight. Use your legs, big legs. Clean first, then the jerk. I just simply tell her to go out there and do what Casey does. Go do some Casey shit. And that is what she did on Saturday. Casey managed to snatch 92 right there. Very easy. Small. Listen. Some small technical errors here that we can correct, but 92 started on the ground and it landed overhead and then she stood it up. No style points, 92 on the board. She lets out the typical Casey scream after. And then she lined up 114. I let it be known that Squad Dad called for 106, 110, 113. She went 106, 110, 114. Why? She texted me after. She said, I went 114. I wanted to give you that plus 15 kilos on my total as an early 1 year anniversary. So Casey and I have now been working together for a year, and this represents plus 15 kilos on her total. The clean got a little wonky, but the amount of work that we have put in on her jerk, just if she cleans it, it's going overhead. It's over. If Casey cleans it, it goes overhead. It's over. Jake, you can let those videos run in the background again. Again, Casey is another one where if the hardest part of my job is believing in people like Casey and people like Carrie and people like Beth and people like Rachel, the hardest part of my job is believing in them and instilling the confidence that I think that they should have in themselves, then I have the easiest job in the world. Because these girls who aren't featured in these videos, girls who aren't on the competitive side, who are more on the lifestyle side, believing in them is the easiest thing that I do every single day, because I get to watch their consistency, their hard work, their attachment to the program, to the plan as a whole, and their involvement in the community. It's everything that you could ask for me to sit back and be like, oh, how do you believe in your clients? It's like, it's fucking effortless for me. It's the easiest thing that I do on a day-to-day basis, is seeing how great these people can become. And watching Casey have all this success is, I think, when Casey posts a really big lift, the only thing that goes through my mind is, yep, that's what she does. It's, an all-time PR. It's someone who was competing on an international stage and was having a ton of success before I ever got to hitch myself to that wagon. So when she does something really big, it's like, yep, that's what she does. You'll see me comment on her stuff all the time. Oh my God, people in the comments, oh my God, it's amazing. Fire, fire, fire. Holy shit, you're so many big PRs recently. And Squad Dad's in the comment, just being an antagonizing asshole like he always is, and just saying, routine, because it is. It's routine for her. Because when the amount of work that she puts in, the amount of time that she takes, the amount of care that she puts into her body, the amount of attention to detail that she pays, she's such a good role model and such a good member of the team for others to look up to. And I know for a fact that they do. I know that Casey's hard work, Rachel's hard work, Beth's hard work, Carrie's hard work, Kat's hard work, everyone who's ever been featured on these videos, and people who will never, probably never be featured on these videos because they don't, you know, like to share their stuff on social media. All of these people inspire each other, and that's the biggest part of the community. So Casey, another very, very successful weekend, going 92-114-206. That is, in less than a year, 15 kilos on her total. And if we do 2/3 of that next year, if Casey is totaling, and I would like to preface this by saying I think this is 100% possible and going to happen. If Casey adds another 10 kilos to her total next year, there's no international meet that she shows up at that she doesn't have a chance of bringing a medal home. So, huge. When I met Casey, her weightlifting career had about 6 months left before her knees exploded and she was done. The Casey now is pain-free, 15 kilos extra on her total, and with so much more in the tank. I don't think that that is just me. I'm not sitting here like, yes, bask in my excellence. I have taught her the ways of the squat father. This is me setting her up, again, just like Anthony and Katya, setting her up with a plan that works for her and staying the hell out of her way and just letting her work her ass off. And that's what she does. And this is the result of that. So I am a small part of the plan. We at Gifted, the coaches, are a small part of the plan. You, the individual, the athlete, the client, no matter what your goals are, you're the biggest part of this. You're the hero of this story, and we want to highlight that story. That's what you get when you come and you work with us. So Casey, another really good week for you. We've got our goals set for the end of the year. Her and I, we've already had our discussions on what we want to push. Moving into the end of the year, Casey's end of the year max out session might get pretty interesting. I think they might send another drug test person. Blow some Puerto Rican minds. Some Colombians might be a little bit worried too. All right, last but not least here is Carrie at the Olympia. So here is a posing video of Carrie from the Olympia. Carrie went to the Olympia to compete in the fitness division. She won her class and placed second in the overall. Because this is the way that my brain works, I had a very similar reaction to when Rachel won second at Worlds. I was crushed. I was crushed for her. Because every single thing about Carrie's story this year, the only possible ending in my mind, the only scenario that made sense in my mind, was when the last judgment was placed at the end of the year, the Amateur Olympia overall, the pro card goes to, the only possible name that could be called was Carrie Harris. And when it wasn't, I was devastated. I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't upset. I wasn't mad. I was devastated because Carrie and everything that she did this year, class win, overall, class win, overall, class win, overall, class win. There was just one more time where the only person that deserved to be standing on that stage at the end of it all was named Carrie Harris. And when they didn't call her name, obviously, for me, being the person that I am, just heartbroken for her. Because that wasn't the ending that was written. That's not what the prophecy foretold. So for me, that was very tough. And for about 5 minutes, I didn't know what was going to happen. So how it works at a show is you watch them on stage, then the judgment is rendered. You then meet them where the competitors come out and the spectators are. So you meet together. So I'm standing there with Carrie's now fiance, Christopher, nice guy, love the guy, super, super friendly, fun hanging out with him all day at the Olympia. Standing there, just the most awkward silence ever, because we're both like, what the hell is about to happen? Christopher, they render the judging. Christopher looks at me. He's like, I've never seen her do anything other than win everything. I was like, yo, me too. So she comes out of the back. She got the biggest smile on her face. First thing she says, you know, I'm going to take a year off and then I'm going to get back to this. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to work towards. Again, same situation as Rachel. You can't ask for a better mindset. You can't ask for a better client. You can't ask for a better handling of what was a situation where, for more insight onto this, like, obviously you guys can see Carrie's physique here is very impressive. The girl who beat Carrie couldn't sniff her jock in the physique round. Carrie blew that girl away in the physique round. The girl just came a little bit more prepared on her routine, on her posing routine. Carrie got beat there. In my mind, at a bodybuilding show, if the gap is larger on the physique side, you award it to who wins the physique side. But because in fitness, the last thing that judges see is not comparisons of physiques, they see the routines. So they score routines. And in this case, Carrie was beaten by a girl who had a better routine. And that's unfortunate. But when Carrie got off stage, taking a year off, working on my skills, I'm going to start taking dance classes, going to improve my routine. It's like, you're 5 minutes removed from what should have been a devastating judgment. Like, something that broke your heart. Like, the whole year, 8 months, led to 10 seconds. And the 10 seconds didn't go your way. And you hear that, and you walk off stage, and you don't say, that was bullshit. The judges, my physique was so much better. My routine was good. I nailed. She just says, I got to get better. It's like, how can you be more inspiring than that? How can you beat that? You can't. You can't. People don't beat that. You don't get those moments in anything other than competitive athletics. And the takeaway for people who maybe are never going to step on that stage, never step on a platform, is we all have those bad moments week by week, month by month. We all have the moments that aren't great. And Carrie proved that the response to those moments matters far more, far more. How you handle it, how you move forward is absolutely the most important piece of this puzzle, rather than sitting there being butthurt, wallowing in your feelings. Carrie's the perfect example. Rachel is the perfect example. Casey, Beth, so many of the people that are on both Team Squawfather and Gifted as a whole are the perfect example of adversity. What's the plan forward? There's no middle phase of, I'm going to feel bad for myself, I'm going to get bitter, I'm going to throw the judges under, throw the referees under the bus, throw the sport under the bus. Bodybuilding is just stupid. Weightlifting is dumb. I don't want to do this anymore. How can I internally reflect on this? What are my needs moving forward to get better and to get that end goal that I want? What are the pieces of the process that I can improve upon to ensure the outcome that I desire in the long run? Girls, Squad Dad feels like the most proud father in the world. You guys are the perfect example of exactly what we want at Gifted on our competitive side and our lifestyle side. What you guys do on the competitive side bleeds over and serves as an example for everyone else. So, really good stuff. Loved it. The last 10 days, like I said, have been some of the most rewarding. And, you know, coming into the busy season of the year, I really needed that battery recharge. So not only have you guys served as a positive example for our lifestyle side of things, but you've also kind of recharged old Squat Dad's batteries to get back into the fray. All right. We are coming up on the 35-minute mark here. Let me try and get this done in under 40 minutes so I'm not taking too much of your day. Let's hit one or two of these Reddit questions, shall we? Already did that one. Put that one in completed. Seed oils. Let's see if we can find one here. Did that one. Did that one. Sorry, guys. I haven't sorted these very well. Doing a bad job. Oh, here we go. All right. Jake, this is 4677. Can you jazz-like... Oh, my God. Jazz-like-cream-67. What the fuck is jazz-like cream? What? Asks, can you undo the effects of a high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet? Says, assuming you switch over to a healthy, balanced diet of natural, whole, and organic foods and exercise. limp_debt9594 at the bottom. Yes, type 2 diabetes has been proven reversible by diet and lifestyle changes. Foods don't need, and then it gets cut off. So, again, a lot of times with these Reddit questions, the problem lies with the question itself and the author's understanding of how these things work. So, the effects of a high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet, what are those effects? When those foods are overconsumed, we get overweight and obesity. We get a calorie surplus that leads to fat gain over time, causing us to be overweight or obese. With obesity comes chronic, meaning it's long-lasting, low-grade inflammation. With that comes metabolic disorder. So we see increased fasted glucose to the point where individuals get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, hyperlipidemia, meaning that your cholesterol is elevated, your lipids are elevated, get things like atherosclerosis, heart disease. But these are all secondary from, I don't even know if these would be secondary. These would be tertiary in this process. So it would have to be step number one, individual chronically consumes a hypercaloric, too many calories, above maintenance, hypercaloric, high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet. That individual then, over time, gains weight to the point where they are overweight and or obese. And then third from that, we start to develop the mechanisms of metabolic syndrome. Things I discussed, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all of that. So when we're handling, I think what this individual is talking about is, can the byproducts, the diabetes, the cardiovascular disease, all of that, can those things be undone with a healthy, balanced diet? Prefacing all of this, let me say that the high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet didn't necessarily do the bad things to your body. The symptoms that you're reporting, or the symptoms that I think that you're reporting, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all that, are a byproduct of overweight and obesity. Overweight and obesity is or can be a byproduct of a hypercaloric, high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet. If we are in a hypocaloric, a low, below maintenance, or a isocaloric, at maintenance, high-processed, high-sugar junk food diet, we wouldn't see those downstream effects. So what we actually need to fix here, if we're talking about how do I decrease my likelihood or reverse things like type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease, hyperlipidemia, high blood pressure, things like that, really what we need to fix is the overweight or obesity. One way to fix that issue or to help ameliorate that issue would be a natural, whole, organic food diet that is, you know, balanced in nature, doesn't cause overconsumption of calories. But the magic isn't in the healthy, natural, whole, and organic food diet and exercise. The magic comes from the weight reduction. How you achieve weight reduction doesn't necessarily have to be through a healthy, balanced, natural, whole, and organic food diet. We don't have to scare people who are in this situation away from step one by saying, you must check all of these boxes. Oh, you hate vegetables and fruit? Well, you got to start eating those. You hate exercise? Well, guess what? You're lifting weights and doing intense cardio. Oh, you don't like things that are organic? You prefer more processed foods because those taste better and they fit like your lifestyle because you can bring them to work easier? Well, you got to ditch that. You got to overhaul your entire life. So we don't need to make as many barriers to entry as this individual is putting in here. So to answer their question, can you undo these things? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. But do we have to do it in the way that this individual has outlined it? No, not so much. And a lower barrier to entry, easier to adhere plan may work better for people who are just taking that step and just dipping their feet in their toes, rather, dipping their toes into a healthy lifestyle, right? Healthier lifestyle. Up next is Norvis Abutdis. Hope that's your name. That's a great name. All right. Norvis says, hello, everyone. I have a question about warm-ups. My gym is 2.4 kilometers. Last time I checked, this is America. 1.5 miles from home. I always walk there and back. Lots of elevation. So about 3 miles of elevation, inclined walking, inclined and decline walking. It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how hot it is. That's fast. 1.5 miles in 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. That's fast. How do I take this into consideration when planning on warmups? I really, really hate the treadmill cross trainer row machine warmups. It is boring, mundane. I just can't stand it. Nowadays, I can usually be there for 3 minutes max. I'd honestly rather never work out again than be there for the 10 minutes internet is telling me to. But I also don't want to injure myself because I don't warm up properly. So I don't really know how to navigate this issue. So step one in navigating this issue is, what are you actually warming up for? So are you warming up for resistance training? Are you doing, you know, are you running and jogging? Are you doing rowing intervals? Are you doing cross training, CrossFit? What are you actually warming up for? When designing out a warm-up plan, it's important to hit or check two boxes: general warm-up, specific warm-up. A general warm-up serves four purposes, and those are abbreviated as RAMP or RAMP. The general warm-up raises your core temperature, activates your musculature, mobilizes the necessary joint, and potentiates the movements you're about to do. So if this individual is walking a mile and a half to the gym, are we raising the core temperature? Yep. Are we activating musculature? Yep. Are we mobilizing joints? Maybe, maybe. Probably not as much as we need to. Are we potentiating the movements to follow? Unless the movements to follow are faster walking into maybe jogging, probably not. So if you are saying, listen, I can warm up for an extra 3 minutes, that's it. I think that you can handle those last two and make those last two pieces a little bit more specific. So let's say this individual is going to the gym for a leg training session. So if they're going to the gym for a leg training session, is a 30-minute walk to the gym going to check most of your boxes when it comes to a general warm-up? Yes, it is. If that first exercise on your training program is squat, you can develop a specific warm-up plan that involves that squatting movement pattern. So I walk to the gym, I do some dynamic warming up for all of 2 to 3 minutes, some lunges, some, you know, Russian baby makers, some sitting at the bottom of a squat, some saddle stretch, some mobilization of the joints that you're about to use for 2 to 3 minutes, and then you can get directly into the movement that you're about to do. If this individual is going to the gym to run on the treadmill, it doesn't sound like they're doing that. If this individual is going to the gym to run on the treadmill, literally walk your happy ass into the gym, onto that treadmill, pick it up to a jog, and now you're ready to go from there. So I would say for this individual, warming up, you're generally warmed up showing up to the gym after walking that distance. I wouldn't necessarily say, okay, you have to warm up for an additional 10 minutes. Where the fuck do we get 10 minutes? Why is 10 minutes the number that we went with? Who's saying that? But yeah, I would say just mobilize the joints that you're about to use in the training session. Start with lighter weights and warm up as you traditionally would for resistance training and leave it at that. That's going to do it for you. Man, I hate to leave you guys after only two Reddit questions, but that is going to do it for the day. Next time around on episode 4, what we'll do is we'll do a shorter client wrap-up section. I'll really dig into one of the products that you guys have sent me, and we'll answer plenty more Reddit questions. Guys, we have some individuals lining up for guest appearances. So we are looking at adding some other individuals into the podcast, short 20, 30-minute discussions with those individuals coming very, very soon. You're not stuck with only me forever. But this episode is completed. Episode 3, in the books. It was a big one on client wrap-ups and a diatribe there from myself. But after the last 10 days of watching you guys compete, I was super motivated, super inspired. I wanted to get all of that out there so that you guys could know how exactly both myself and the team as a whole are feeling. That wraps us up here. We'll see you on the next one. Episode 4 cometh. Be ready for it. But in the meantime, in between times, and as always, you can do me a favor and stay gifted.